Hey, I just wanted to warn you that Joshua's camera ran into some issues for this portion of the interview, so if the video bothers you too much, you're free to just listen to the audio. Sorry about that. Now let's get into it. Hello and welcome to the After Show. I'm with Joshua Zatkoff. We spent a long time talking about his story, part one, then part two, his experiences with demons, psychedelics, and going to heaven and Jesus. And Joshua, I'm very pleased to be joined with you to talk to you and have more of a discussion. And I have more questions to you because I think your story is fascinating. Your experiences are definitely something that most people are not going to encounter. So I think it's good to take advantage of, you know, what you've seen and see what we can apply in our lives as Christians. And my first question that I want to ask is, how is your relationship with God now after that visit to heaven?
It's a lot more matured and seasoned. I'm coming up on my seventh year walking with God, and it's been filled with ups and downs. And so I think the biggest thing that how my relationship with God now is it's just become more mature. It's become a lot more, there's a lot more trust there. And it's become a lot more steady, if that makes sense. It's not, in the past, my relationship with God was very like feeling this, feeling up and down, feeling this, feeling that, running around, zealous and trying to do and all these things. But my relationship with God now is a lot more restful. You know, it's like I realize I don't have to do a whole lot. And that what all of it matters is like sitting at the feet. Like that's really where it all takes place. And so that's where it's changed. Also, like I used to have my relationship with God compartmentalized, right? Like separated, like this is normal life stuff and this is spiritual, and right, like we separate like church time, work time. Now I learned that like that consistent, constant prayer, learning how to take that into my day to day. So now it's learning how to walk with God in the cool of the day, you know. And so I think it's just become more less intense. In some ways, it's funny because actually my walk with God has become less supernatural in the sense of like in the beginning there was some crazy like testimony moments. And it's just become a lot more sweet and like steady. Not as much like, it's now just more like a nice cruise. So that's what I would say.
I think that's encouraging to many people because I'm sure a lot of people look at your story and they're like, wow, I wish I would have an experience like that. Or I wish I would have a testimony like that to tell. But you're saying these moments in your life that were filled with supernatural things, not that the supernatural is bad, but we're talking about your experience and these up and downs. You are much more grounded, much more sanctified. It seems much more at peace now that you've been able to calm down and just sit in the presence of God instead of, you know, chasing these spiritual highs, even if they're good highs, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's like there's a quote I love. I might butcher it, but it's by John Climacus. And he says, and he's talking about basically being in the monastic life. And he said, and there may come a time where you find that you have knowledge and eloquent words, and you may want to return in hopes to teach and to save someone. He says, but don't lose out at sea what you've gained in the harbor. And so that's kind of where I'm at, where it's like, it's better to sit in the harbor, and be with God rather than go and try to do exploits for God and go, you know, hit the seas of the world and do, you know, save people and do, we want to do all these things. But if it's at the cost of losing God or losing ourselves or our minds, it's just not worth it. We incarnate, Jesus incarnated on earth. We are incarnated on earth. We're here to be here. And so that's what I had to learn is, you know, when I was always trying to be there, you know, but I'm called to be here. And so I've had to learn to be present and become whole here versus always trying to have like spiritual, you know, that's just the addiction in me. And and I think that's what a lot of people want. They want these experiences and these supernatural encounters, and they're great. Don't get me wrong. I think everyone needs an encounter. We need to encounter God and all that stuff. But I'll tell you that I have some very intense encounters with God. But that's also spaced out by months and months of waiting and the mundane and the valley. And there's nothing wrong with that, because it's in that place that the gold is formed. So.
Amen. I love your seasoned perspective on things. I often see people that are fresh out of, you know, whatever belief system they had, and their zeal for God is at maximum, which is not a bad thing. It's amazing that point you mentioned as a honeymoon phase. But there is so much learning. There's so much more humility that we can attain. And it's refreshing to hear a perspective like that, that instead of having to do everything for God, it's like, just sit with him, learn mm-hmm. to listen to him, to be with him. And if he wants you to do something, then, you know, he's going to tell you. And the better you are at hearing his voice, the better you're going to be at obeying his command. So
100%. 100%.
I really like that. But also, you talked about, we live here because there's a purpose of being here. And it's kind of like putting the supernatural into concrete things, which mm-hmm. I think is good. And when you went to heaven, is there anything in particular? Now, maybe not, but is there anything in particular that you can pinpoint to scripture that you saw on the other side?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Hebrews 12, the cloud of witnesses.
Right.
There's several references to the hand of God. I forget what Psalm it is. I want to say 43 or maybe 143, but it says, I've been spent by your hand. And so it talks about the corrective hand of God that will break you down, basically, that crushes you and corrects you. Psalm 73:25, whom else do I have in heaven besides you? And what else on earth do I desire more than thee? When my heart and my flesh fail me, you are my strength and my portion forever. That was one thing I saw, that it wasn't that heaven or the saints or the hosts of heaven were like, they didn't care about me. Jesus was the only one that I had, but because I had him, they cared about me. So it was, you know, they had his back and they cared about the things he cared about. There's probably some other ones that I don't know if I can jet off the top of my head. But I would say those are the three that come to my mind. And those are the most, I guess, consistent ones. That one I would have to think about a little more.
That's good. You know, when you were talking about your story, the cloud of witness obviously, you know, came up to my mind when you mentioned it. And there's still parts of it that are a mystery, right? A lot of us on earth try to figure out the mysteries of God. And I think even if you saw some of it, there's still part of it that's still kind of a mystery, because you said you don't know if they're saints or if they're angels or.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't even say that I really saw like heaven and explored heaven. It was like I was in heaven and I was aware of heaven, but I wasn't, it was restricted. It was like, you know, it was like I had an iPhone and I just had like phone access or something. It was like, I didn't have access to all the apps and all the adventures. And it was very limited on what I was allowed to see.
After seeing Jesus, being with him, how did your view of him change?
I'd say that it's funny, because I'd say, first off, my view of like this God being mad at you or Jesus being upset with you or not like holding, not forgiving you kind of thing, that completely went away. And so what resonated the most was his love, that his love, it overlooks all your shortcomings. Like his love is seen through the blood and it's seen through his work. So it's like, he only looks for the best in people. He doesn't, you know, like he's aware of the bad, but he chooses to see the good. And you know, it says love believes in all things. And so no matter how much you don't believe in yourself, no matter how many times you failed, like you could fail 500 times and Jesus still believes in you as if it was the first time. I would say that would be one of the main things that stuck out to me, that this whole issue we have with forgiveness is always usually on our end. It's not, you know, like God's not struggling to forgive, or, you know, all this condemnation, all the shame, all this stuff is on our end. And it's real because it comes from sin, but it's not because Jesus is looking like, mm-hmm. he's not looking at it like that.
Yeah. It's fun to me to hear stories like yours, because it can put into more concrete terms what I already kind of glimpsed from the Bible and from my experiences. But sometimes you kind of explained there was a veil in front of you. Well, being in this world is even a much bigger veil to how heaven is. So for you to have them in closer, it's encouraging, at least to me, to hear that, you know, the forgiveness of God is like we imagine, and even more. And his love is like what we think of, but even more than that. And it's just amplified. So I really like that. And we'll get into the part of the after show. I have rapid fire questions for you. So I'll just ask you 7 questions in a row. You answer in the most concise way possible. We're just trying to get a little bit more out of, you know, your experiences in your life, and, you know, get a chance for people to know you better. So the first question is, what advice would you have for a believer that struggles with addiction?
Ooh, I don't know if that's a rapid answer, but it might be a rapid question. But my advice would be that you have to plug into God with the same intensity that you plug into the drug, and you have to wait. It's not an immediate thing. You didn't get that addicted overnight, and it's not going to necessarily get free that quickly overnight. I believe God can radically, you know, always go for the highest point of, you know, radical deliverance and radical freedom and all that. Yeah, I always believe for that, but typically a lot of people have to sit through the tunnel that they walk down. So what I would say is there's a chance that you might have to go to a detox and like go through the withdrawals in a detox and own up to where you're at, and turn and walk through the tunnel that you walk down, you know, but do it with God. Don't get discouraged when you don't get immediate results or it takes time. Just take the first step in like getting off it. If that means going to a detox, go to a detox, you know what I mean? And fill your time with, like, you have to be kind of aggressive and violent almost with your pursuit of God, because you're in such intense bondage. Like, addiction is such an intense thing where it's not just like one demon that's messing with you. It's a whole network that has infiltrated your whole life. So it's like, they all work together to get you to turn to that thing. And so because of that, when you move around a lot, like you're always busy doing so, there's so many potential snares that get you to go back to that. So it's not a bad thing. It's a pretty wise thing to go to a detox if you're dealing with something that's like a heroin or where you have withdrawals and stuff, and just hide away if you can. But don't beat yourself up over falling, but keep getting up and every day and give your best to God.
Okay. What's the best advice you were ever given?
Oh my goodness. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. that's the best probably advice I think I got to take for myself. But you know what? Another one that I love, and it's not even really advice, but it's just a heart posture, is that no amount of service in the king's courts will ever make up for neglecting the king himself. Hmm. Worship of God will always be better than work for God.
I never heard that, but I think I needed to hear it. Thank you.
Yeah.
What do you think would have helped you not go back into psychedelics after becoming a Christian?
Humility, becoming humble within my areas faster. You know, I think about if like God gave me the things that I wanted at that time, like the things that were causing me annoyances, if God had just given to me that stuff, and it probably would have crushed me way harder in a way worse way down the road. Just humbling myself under the mighty hand of God and dying to my Bill Johnson says your right to understand. You know, die, give up your right to understand, and that's what it is. It's like feeling like I needed to understand this, and God owed me answers.
What's the best way to talk to Christians who dabble in psychedelics?
You know, it's interesting. I've met a few now because of this testimony that I've reached out, and I've met that they say they're Christians and they take psychedelics. Now, I'm not saying this in a judgmental way. I'm just being honest with what I've observed. And what I've observed is that those same Christians, some of them smoked weed too. they cussed and had, you know, cursed within their conversations. And I started noticing like these markers of what I would call lukewarm. And so I personally would say, like, look at all the other areas of your life. Like, how many other areas are compromised? I personally, that's what I would say is, like, what is coming from it? What makes you think that God wants you to have something that you need? Like, if we have the Holy Spirit in us so that rivers can flow from us, why didn't God feel the need to include in scripture, like, anywhere, any Christian writings or any of the church fathers, any of that? Like, oh yeah, by the way, this is such an important part. Take mushrooms too. Take psychedelics too. Someone tried telling me that all these like big church people, like they have mushroom retreats and it's their secret kind of stuff. And I'm like, you know, even if that's true, like, why didn't God feel the need to include such an important part of our salvation, in the Bible? With
that? Well, I think those are some of the bad churches, the churches you shouldn't listen to. Maybe these pastors go there, but.
Yeah.
Okay. What are some struggles that you have right now in your walk with Christ?
I would say it is the balance between Martha, Mary, Joshua, Moses, the balance of how much do we pursue the work of God and how much do we just, because like I said, it's like, it's easy to get in this place where I've gotten there where you just get so, at times, I'm in and out of it, but there's a place in God where you don't care about anything. Like you're captivated in Christ. And therefore you like don't care about doing ministry. You don't care about making more money. You don't care about like so many things. You just want to be, you're just in love. But the thing is at that place, there's at least for me, then there comes a time of like, all right, well, God called me to do this. And then when you start doing it, I start inviting myself back into the equation more, And so it's find this balance of, Moses stood in the temple with his arms raised and Joshua went and won the battles. So it's like someone has to fight, someone had to pray. And so it's me finding the balance of, all right, when am I doing too much? And when am I waiting and soaking too much? And this back and forth of like, how much of my will, is in this equation. That's I'm just finding that balance, that sweet spot and consistently staying in the sweet spot once I find it.
Name one thing that you saw but didn't expect to see in heaven.
The saints like disappointed. It was such an odd thing because we have this idea of all the people, all the saints are in heaven are like happy and everything's just like, hallelujah, hallelujah, And it was that there was personalities, like there was such a sense of like there were certain ones that were more or less, like there was personalities of they were all, you would think everyone's just like on one accord, 100%, like all robots of each other in support of God kind of thing. But they were individuals. They were like, they were people with like almost their own personalities. And that bled into their view of me kind of thing.
Last question. What's your favorite Bible book or verse and why?
That's a good one. I just asked this the other night, actually, on TikTok. I would say, all right, I'll do this. That's really hard. If I do Old Testament, I'm going to say Job or Psalms. And the reason Job is because Job is the one book I actually try not to read it that often because every single time I read Job, God speaks to me. Sometimes you read the Bible and you don't feel like you get anything from it. Sometimes it's just like, okay, and you just trust God did what he needed to say. But Job is the one book. Every time I read Job, I get huge revelation and God faithfully speaks to me out of it. And it greatly helps me. And then if I had to do New Testament, I'll say Colossians or 1 John. Because Colossians is like such a good like layout of the Christian life and what was accomplished. It talks about the deity of Christ. It talks about a lot of theologically, it's a theological book, but it's also very, very simple and applicable. And then 1 John is just, he was Jesus's beloved or, his the one he loved. So he's just very love, very deep in his love for God, and that comes out in his writing.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for spending time with me today and the other day also when we did the part one. I really do appreciate you being vulnerable, sharing these things. I know because I get blowback from some of the testimonies. I know that you've gotten a lot, especially for the amount of views that they've gotten. So I appreciate that you're still willing to do this, even though, you know, there's repercussions and there's, it doesn't bring a whole lot of positive in someone's life to put your story out there. But we do it, you know, out of love for other people, out of obedience for God. So I appreciate that you'd be willing to do that and share as much as you did.
No, I appreciate you, man. It's been a pleasure talking, and I appreciate you having me on here.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you, Joshua. Have a nice day.
All right.